Talk. Inspiration Wednesdays.
Welcome back to the show, and it is Inspiration Wednesdays. At the end of last week, we were talking a little bit about interdenominational festivities over this time. And some of our listeners wrote in to tell us about how they mix up their religious festivals when they get together at the end of the year. So everybody's traditions get mixed into the melting pot so that everybody can take part, really. So on that note, we thought it might be interesting to invite actress and playwright Chantal Stanfield in to talk to us about her show From Kuh Sisters to Knedlach, a hilarious play that she's written and is starring in at the Baxter Theatre until the 6th of January. It's directed by Fleur de Cap winner Megan Furness, and it's about a girl from the Cape Flats who falls in love with a Jewish guy from Joburg's East Rand and all the awkward situations that they have to navigate together. So before I say hello, in case you don't know, Chantal is a Cape Town-born performer. Many of you might know her from her TV role as Lindy Davids in Getrouwd Met Rugby, or you might remember her as Cecile Whittaker from Seven de Laan. Welcome to the show, Chantal.
Thank you so much for having me, Bianca, and hello to the Cape Talk listeners.
Let's take a few steps back before we talk about the show. What has the experience of being an actor in Cape Town been like for you? Has it been a tough road with a lot of waitressing on the side, or was it a smooth ride from varsity?
I actually didn't do much waitressing. I maybe had one stint at the Royal Cape Golf Club for like a month while studying, and was not for me.
Okay.
It was not for me. There was just too much drama involved. But I have since played three other waitresses on screen and on stage, so that kind of helped a little bit.
A bit of research.
A little bit of research. I was very fortunate. As soon as I graduated, well, I hadn't actually technically graduated when I got the very first role that I auditioned for, which was a little cabaret at the old On Broadway Theater in Long Street, and it was called Rhythm's Gonna Get You. And a week or two after starting is when I actually graduated. So I've been very lucky in that from the get-go, I've had stuff. Obviously, as an actor and a performer, you have those dry spells where you question your existence and if you've made the right choice in life or not.
And also, you're a singer, so you're able to tap into many talents. You're also a voice artist and a writer.
Absolutely. I think that's you have to be multi-dimensional as a performer. You can't. I don't know if I would have survived if I was just an actor in one language, in one platform. It's just unheard of. It's very difficult to be successful like that. So I've been very lucky to have a vast array of talents that I can tap into and, you know, feed myself with.
Tell me, was that your big break, or when did your big break come?
I think I've had a few big breaks, but I think in terms of the public consciousness, the big break was definitely the first Seven de Laan stint.
Okay.
I had done lots of theatre before that. I had done Mixed Metaphors by Mike van Graan. I had done, like I said, This Rhythm's Gonna Get You, and another TV series on CakeNet called Geraldina de Tweede. But Seven de Laan, that was the thing. The very next day, after airing on Seven de Laan for like 5 minutes on a Tuesday evening, from the very next day, it was like wildfire. It was the strangest thing. And I had to check myself because I started to get very big-headed about it very, very early on. Because that's just the vibe, especially in Joburg. You know,
you mean because of the exposure?
Yes, because of the exposure and because of the recognition and, you know, people being in your space and trying to figure that out as a young actor, you know, especially coming from UCT, and I can say this because that's where I studied. I think we as UCT drama graduates, we have an inflated sense of self. And so when that kind of thing happens, when suddenly you are famous, you kind of take it to your head.
Yeah.
And it took me a while to unlearn that and just realize that these are the fans are people who are giving you your work, kind of, in a way. They're the ones who are buying into what you're selling.
Were people greeting you as Cecile on the street? How do people respond to you?
Oh, absolutely. Even now, just popping in at the entrance, people still remember that character. I've played, 20 other characters since then, and it's still a thing. People still remember Cecile. They still remember the storyline. It was such a touchstone. So it's one of the characters I really love.
So how do you break that when you take on a new character?
I suppose, look, I think as a performer, there's only so much that you can play. There's, like, you have a type, and sometimes you can break out of that, depending on, especially in film, it's I think it's easier to do in film. But when it's TV, you have a type. Like, the amount of times I've gone and auditioned for, I think I went to audition for a prison warden or a prison guard, and it was just not going to happen. It's just, you just know afterwards, you're like, that was a stupid thing to do. You don't look, whatever I try to do, it just, it wouldn't work. So there's only so much you can do to break out of it. But what I've done, what I've tried to do is try to, instead of trying to break out of any type or stereotype or typecasting, is try to find characters that I believe in and stories that I believe in. Mm. But very, very early on in my career, I decided that I wasn't going to play the stereotypical colored roles. That was a very big thing for me. And I think I've succeeded because I've played a salon owner. I've played, who was Cecile? Cecile was who Cecile was.
Yes.
And now in Getrouwd met Rugby, I get to play a physiotherapist from Cape Town, which has been very interesting within that Afrikaans market on Cakenick, which is a mostly white Afrikaans market. To see someone like the character, Lindy, appearing in that soap, it was quite a shift, I think, for a lot of the audience members. For me, it wasn't, because I grew up in Cape Town. The way that Lindy speaks is the way that the majority of Cape Townians speak anyway.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't exclude or preclude her from being a professional physiotherapist within the rugby world.
Yes.
So I like shaking things up like that.
What about the transition from UCT Drama School, which is more of a theatrical training, into television? Did you feel prepared, or was it uncharted water that you had to learn on your own?
I was actually very, very well prepared. I'm not sure, I can't speak for other drama schools, but I know in our fourth year, we had one of our lecturers, Chris Weir, who is incredible, who I would love to work with again someday.
Just putting it out there.
Just putting it out there, Chris Weir. Chris Weir, in our fourth year, there was a television course that we did for, like, I don't know, it was multicam work for like 6 months, I think it was. And that multicam work has stood me in such good stead, because that was, it helped from that very first Sea of Indolan audition. I knew exactly which camera would be on me, what light would be on, to how the reactions would fit, this camera side, the it was so useful, incredibly useful. So it was something that I knew as I left, as opposed to something I had to learn throughout the career.
Okay, so now let's move on to the show that's on at the Baxter that you're starring in and that you've written at the moment.
Yes.
Tell us a bit. It is a love story, and about how you met your present husband.
Yes, yes.
So tell us a bit about how you met your husband, who is award-winning vocalist, songwriter, composer, also multi-talented in many ways. He's also a musical director and producer, RJ Benjamin.
Yes, yes. Well, as I say in the piece, we met through Twitter.
Wow.
It's one of these
so modern.
Very thoroughly modern romance, where, you know, in the industry, we all kind of know of each other. So in our case, we had met a few times. I was a fan. I still have his very first album that he actually autographed for me in 2005, before we actually knew each other. And it was one of those things where I was in Turkey doing a tribute show in 2013. It was a 6-month contract. I was off, you know, living my life, being single in a foreign country, which is always fun and highly recommended. and I was listening to his music on my phone while we traveled through the mountain on one particular Friday. It was a long trip. And I tweeted about one of his songs because I was listening to it. And he tweeted back.
Ooh.
Then I tweeted him and he tweeted back. And from there, it just kind of developed over the rest of the time that I was in Turkey. We became Facebook friends, you know, Twitter friends, and, you know, it just developed.
You advanced as you could get more characters to write in.
You know, Twitter, Facebook, WhatsApp, Skype, all the modern things.
And when did you know he was the one? Did he propose?
Of course he proposed. He didn't have a choice. Look, I think I could be soppy and go into those kind of details, but I think I knew he was the one when I realized that we had the same kind of humor.
Right.
One of my favorite films is Nacho Libre, and it happened to be one of his favorites as well. So we could very early on,
connect
and realize that this could work.
Okay. So where did the idea for the One Woman production come from? How was it born?
So I hadn't had any experience of anything Jewish, really, ever. Once or twice, as I mentioned in the piece, in junior school when my son of three teacher brought apples and honey and wished us a Happy New Year in September, which is very weird and completely wrong in my brain at that time. But I hadn't had any experience of anything Jewish until meeting RJ. And I think it's because the Jewish community, especially in Joburg, is so tight-knit, very close/closed community. So if you are not in there already, you wouldn't know half of the stuff.
So you're an outsider. At all,
completely.
Okay.
So not only was I an outsider to the culture, the religion and the traditions, but I also didn't look very Jewish in terms of the Joburg Jewish population. I know a lot of people have said, oh, but you look like you're from Israel, you've got the hair,
yeah,
you know,
definitely,
that kind of thing. The vast majority of the Jewish people in Joburg that I met are from the Eastern European side of things, Lithuania, Latvia, Russia. So there's a very specific look, and I don't fit that look at all. So I would definitely stand out at functions, at a bris, at a wedding, at Pesach. And as I was learning and trying to figure out what this world is about, I realized that if this was new and bizarre to me at 30 something years old, how much more could I share this with people who have never experienced it either, who have no clue, who have as little a clue as I do? And it was also a matter of acknowledging that there are so many multicultural and interracial and into anything relationships that are not getting the stage time that they should be getting, you know. So it stopped being my story, and it became a story that was important to other couples, to other families. And the amount of people who come to me after the show or send me messages about, you know, we could so relate to that, this is exactly what happened to us 30 years ago, 5 years ago, last year, you know, these are stories that people are experiencing. And I think within the broader South African context, I don't think people realize how like normal this is. It is so normal. That doesn't mean it doesn't come without its complications. But it's such a normal thing in my life, within my circle, and I just wanted to share that.
So we are going to talk more about those complications in detail after a little ad break. If you've just joined us, we're talking to Chantal Stanfield, who has written and is starring in a one-woman show called Koo Sisters to Knedlach, showing at the Baxter Theatre until the 6th of Jan.
The South African leaders who wrote the Bill of Rights 21 years ago created a powerful legal framework for our transformation. Our economic, social, and cultural rights are just as legally enforceable as our civil and political rights. South Africa's Bill of Rights is so visionary, so innovative, and so enlightened, it's admired the world over. We are truly born free. Living the Constitution with Lead SA. Find us online for more.
This New Year's Eve, dance and sing till the 7th of January 2018 to the hits of the 1980s, featuring talented dancers of the Cape Town City Ballet. Enjoy classic hits by Cher, Lionel Richie, Richard John Smith and Rick Astley. Book your tickets at CompuTicket or call Artscape. Dial a seat on 021-421-7695.
Cape Talk. Inspiration Wednesdays.
We are talking to Chantal Stanfield, who has written and is starring in a one-woman show called From Cook Sisters to Knedlach, showing at the Baxter Theatre until the 6th of Jan. Give us a call if you have any questions for Chantal, or perhaps if you've experienced what it's like to marry into a different culture to what you were raised in and the kind of challenges you faced. You can call us on 021-446-0567. Or you can send us a WhatsApp note to 072-567-1567 or SMS us on 31567. Chantal, The show, as you said, is about your experiences and the complications that come with being an outsider entering a Jewish family. Mm. Tell us what some of them are without spoiling it.
Well, I mean, there's so many. And I think...
What about your first Shabbat?
Oh, gosh. I mean, that whole experience is like 6 pages long. That's like one of the longer scenes in the piece because it was so bizarre. I don't know. Maybe I should have researched more before I went. But there's only so much that research can help you anyway until you experience it. Small things like, you know, when someone says, okay, let's go to the table, I automatically sit down at the table. And this was not what happened. I was the only one sitting down while everyone else was standing, waiting for the head of the house to say the prayer for the bread and the wine, which I was like, oh, okay. It was bizarre to me. The food, which is in abundance. There's always an excess of food. And as I say in the piece, there are no small portions where Jewish mother's heart and spoon are involved. For example, his mother dishing for everyone at the table. I'm used to dishing for myself. And this was a matter of, you know, her dishing, but over dishing. You know?
Yes, yes.
Other things, never being to a shul before and realizing that I would have to sit completely separately from my then boyfriend. Going to a bris, which was quite something.
Can be quite upsetting.
Yes, I've now been to two. Joining in the singing of all the choras. To people's amusement that I actually knew the songs. There are quite a few of those little moments when you put them together. It makes for such, I think, bizarre, fun viewing because I think the audiences are experiencing it for the first time. A lot of the audiences, anyway, are experiencing it for the first time with me, especially in Cape Town where the Jewish audience isn't as let's just say that the Jewish audience in Cape Town is far more integrated than the Joburg crowd. So I could tell right away if the crowd was going to be just the Jewish crowd from the first scene, from the reactions to the very first scenes. But the audiences, the majority of the audience in Cape Town are also, for the first time, learning and trying to figure out what this Jewish world is because it's so... tight-knit.
And now obviously it's a comedy piece, but was it always funny or was it difficult for each of your families to come to terms with the fact that each of you were marrying from a different culture? How was your family reacting to it?
Oh no, my family's been good with everything.
Yes.
My family, as I say in the piece, their thing has always been as long as you're happy, that's good. So they've never had reservations with any of my beaus before, in terms of culture, race, or religion, or all of that, it's always been about, okay, are you happy? Like, that's the most important thing.
And how do they feel about you being so public about the challenges, both families? Have they responded well?
Yes, actually. I mean, I think they can respect and understand that this was weird for me and for them because, you know, the first time that either of our parents actually met could only be the day before the wedding because of stuff and transport and all these things and life and stuff. But even for the parents, it was a new ball game. Especially things like the wedding ceremony or the reception, or what are we going to do when we have children, or what about Christmas, or you know, those kind of things.
Yeah.
We found our own way, as I think a lot of mixed couples do. You take from each culture or religion things that you have a touchstone with, that you find important, that you want to pass on. And we have many examples within our friendship circle of people who are doing exactly that, who literally, I think we have representations from every cultural group, demographic in the country within our circle of friends. So I think we are enriched from our personal experiences and backgrounds, but I think within our circle, within our families now, there's a great learning that's happening, great learning and respect that is happening. I think that is one of the cruxes of the play. It's you are more than entitled to have your worldview and your experiences and your cultures and traditions, but that doesn't preclude someone else from learning from you or respecting that as well, and vice versa.
Well said, and a good point there. That is Chantal Stanfield, who has written and is starring in a one-woman show called From Ku Sisters to Knedlach. What about the name of the show? Do you like Knedlach now? What is Knedlach? Maybe you should tell our listeners.
Well, first of all, the name of the play originally was About a Goy, and then a Goy is a word for a Gentile. Okay. In Yiddish, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
And then Daphne Kuhn, who was the first co-producer in Joburg, a theatre on the square, she actually named the piece From Kusistas to Knade. Instead of trying to break out of any type or stereotype or typecasting, is try to find characters that I believe in and stories that I believe in. Mm. But very, very early on in my career, I decided that I wasn't going to play the stereotypical colored roles. That was a very big thing for me. And I think I've succeeded because I've played a salon owner. I've played, who was Cecile? Cecile was who Cecile was.
Yes.
And now in Getrouwd met Rugby, I get to play a physiotherapist from Cape Town, which has been very interesting within that Afrikaans market on Cakenet, which is a mostly white Afrikaans market. To see someone like the character, Lindy, appearing in that soap. It was quite a shift, I think, for a lot of the audience members. For me, it wasn't, because I grew up in Cape Town. The way that Lindy speaks is the way that the majority of Cape Townians speak anyway.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't exclude or preclude her from being a professional physiotherapist within the rugby world.
Yes.
So I like shaking things up like that.
What about the transition from UCT Drama School, which is more of a theatrical training, into television? Did you feel prepared, or was it uncharted water that you had to learn on your own?
I was actually very, very well prepared. I'm not sure, I can't speak for other drama schools, but I know in our fourth year, we had one of our lecturers, Chris Weir, who is incredible, who I would love to work with again someday.
Just putting it out there.
Just putting it out there, Chris Weir. Chris Weir, in our fourth year, there was a television course that we did for like, I don't know, it was multicam work for like 6 months, I think it was. And that multicam work has stood me in such good stead, because it helped from that very first Sierra Delane audition. I knew exactly which camera would be on me, what light would be on, to how the reactions would fit, this camera side, the you know, it was so useful, incredibly useful. So it was something that I knew as I left, as opposed to something I had to learn throughout the career.
Okay, so now let's move on to the show that's on at the Baxter that you're starring in and that you've written at the moment.
Yes.
Tell us a bit. It is a love story and about how you met your present husband.
Yes, yes.
So tell us a bit about how you met your husband, who is award-winning vocalist, songwriter, composer, also multi-talented in many ways. He's also a musical director and producer, RJ Benjamin.
Yes, yes. Well, as I say in the piece, we met through Twitter.
Wow.
It's one of these...
So modern.
Very thoroughly modern romance, where... You know, in the industry, we all kind of know of each other. So in our case, we had met a few times. I was a fan. I still have his very first album that he actually autographed for me in 2005 before we actually knew each other. And it was one of those things where I was in Turkey doing a tribute show in 2013. It was a 6-month contract. I was off, you know, living my life, being single in a foreign country, which is always fun and highly recommended. And I was listening to his music on my phone while we traveled through the mountain on one particular Friday. It was a long trip. And I tweeted about one of his songs because I was listening to it. And he tweeted back.
Ooh.
Then I tweeted him and he tweeted back. And from there, it just kind of developed over the rest of the time that I was in Turkey. We became Facebook friends, you know, Twitter friends, and you know, it just developed.
You advanced as you could get more characters to write in.
You know, Twitter, Facebook, WhatsApp, Skype, all the modern things.
And when did you know he was the one? Did he propose?
Of course, he proposed. He didn't have a choice. Yeah, look, I think I could be soppy and go into those kind of details, but I think I knew he was the one when I realized that we had the same kind of humor.
Right.
One of my favorite films is Nacho Libre, and it happened to be one of his favorites as well. So we could very early on, you know,
connect
and realize that this could work.
Okay. So where did the idea for the one woman production come from? How was it born?
So I hadn't had any experience of anything Jewish, really, ever. Once or twice, as I mentioned in the piece, in junior school, when my son of three teacher brought apples and honey and wished us a happy new year in September, which is very weird and completely wrong in my brain at that time. But I hadn't had any experience of anything Jewish until meeting RJ. And I think it's because the Jewish community, especially in Joburg, is so tight-knit, very close/closed community. So if you are not in there already, you wouldn't know half of the stuff.
So you're an outsider.
At all, completely.
Okay.
So not only was I an outsider to the culture, the religion and the traditions, but I also didn't look very Jewish in terms of the Joburg Jewish population. I know a lot of people have said, oh, but you look like you're from Israel, you've got the hair,
yeah,
you know,
definitely.
That kind of thing. The vast majority of the Jewish people in Joburg that I met are from the Eastern European side of things, Lithuania, Latvia, Russia. So there's a very specific look, and I don't fit that look at all. So I would definitely stand out at functions, at a bris, at a wedding, at Pesach. And as I was learning and trying to figure out what this world is about, I realized that if this was new and bizarre to me at 30 something years old, how much more could I share this with people who have never experienced it either, who have no clue, who have as little a clue as I do? And it was also a matter of acknowledging that there are so many multicultural and interracial and into anything relationships that are not getting the stage time that they should be getting, you know. So it wasn't, it stopped being my story, and it became a story that was important to other couples, to other families. And the amount of people who come to me after the show or send me messages about, you know, we could so relate to that. This is exactly what happened to us 30 years ago, 5 years ago, last year. You know, these are stories that people are experiencing. And I think within the broader South African context, I don't think people realize how, like, normal this is. It is so normal. That doesn't mean it doesn't come without its complications. But it's such a normal thing in my life, within my circle, and I just wanted to share that.
So we are going to talk more about those complications in detail after a little ad break. If you've just joined us, we're talking to Chantal Stanfield, who has written and is starring in a one-woman show called Koos Sisters to Knedlach, showing at the Baxter Theatre until the 6th of Jan.
The South African leaders who wrote the Bill of Rights 21 years ago created a powerful legal framework for our transformation. Our economic, social, and cultural rights are just as legally enforceable as our civil and political rights. South Africa's Bill of Rights is so visionary, so innovative, and so enlightened, it's admired the world over. We are truly born free. Living the Constitution with Lead SA. Find us online for more.
This New Year's Eve, dance and sing till the 7th of January 2018 to the hits of the 1980s featuring talented dancers of the Cape Town City Ballet. Enjoy classic hits by Cher, Lionel Richie, Richard John Smith and Rick Astley. Book your tickets at CompuTicket or call Artscape. Dial a seat on 021-421-7695.
Cape Talk. Inspiration Wednesdays.
We are talking to Chantal Stanfield, who has written and is starring in a one-woman show called From Cook Sisters to Knedlach, showing at the Baxter Theatre until the 6th of Jan. Give us a call if you have any questions for Chantal, or perhaps if you've experienced what it's like to marry into a different culture to what you were raised in and the kind of challenges you faced. You can call us on 021-446-0567, or you can send us a WhatsApp note to 072-567-1567 or SMS us on 31567. Chantal, the show, as you said, is about your experiences and the complications that come with being an outsider entering a Jewish family. Mm. Tell us what some of them are without spoiling it.
Well, I mean, there's so many. And I think...
What about your first Shabbat?
Oh, gosh. I mean, that whole experience is like 6 pages long. That's like one of the longer scenes in the piece, because it was so bizarre. I don't know. Maybe I should have researched more before I went. But there's only so much that research can help you anyway until you experience it. Small things like, you know, when someone says, okay, let's go to the table, I automatically sit down at the table. And this was not what happened. I was the only one sitting down while everyone else was standing, waiting for the head of the house to say the prayer for the bread and the wine, which I was like, oh, okay. It was bizarre to me. The food, which is in abundance. There's always an excess of food. And as I say in the piece, there are no small portions where Jewish mother's heart and spoon are involved. For example, his mother dishing for everyone at the table. I'm used to dishing for myself. And this was a matter of, you know, her dishing, but over dishing. You know?
Yes, yes.
Other things, never being to a shul before and realizing that I would have to sit completely separately from my then boyfriend. Going to a bris, which was quite something.
Can be quite upsetting.
Yes, I've now been to two. Joining in the singing of all the choras. To people's amusement that I actually knew the songs. There are quite a few of those little moments when you put them together. It makes for such, I think, bizarre, fun viewing, because I think the audiences are experiencing it for the first time. A lot of the audiences, anyway, are experiencing it for the first time with me, especially in Cape Town, where the Jewish audience isn't as let's just say that the Jewish audience in Cape Town is far more integrated than the Joburg crowd. So I could tell right away if the crowd was going to be just the Jewish crowd from the first scene, from the reactions to the very first scenes. But the majority of the audience in Cape Town are also, for the first time, learning and trying to figure out what this Jewish world is, because it's so tight-knit.
And now, obviously, it's a comedy piece, but was it always funny, or was it difficult for each of your families to come to terms with the fact that each of you were marrying from a different culture? How was your family reacting to it?
Oh, no, my family's been good with everything.
Yes.
My family, as I say in the piece, their thing has always been, as long as you're happy, that's good. So they've never had reservations with any of my beaux before, in terms of culture, race, or religion, or all of that. It's always been about, okay, are you happy? Like, that's the most important thing.
And how do they feel about you being so public about the challenges, both families? Have they responded well?
Yes, actually. I mean, I think they can respect and understand that this was weird for me and for them, because, you know, the first time that either of our parents actually met could only be the day before the wedding, because of stuff and transport and all these things and life and stuff. But even for the parents, it was a new ball game, especially things like the wedding ceremony or the reception. Or what are we going to do when we have children? Or what about Christmas? Or, you know, those kind of things.
Yeah.
we found our own way, as I think a lot of mixed couples do. You take from each culture or religion things that are, that you have a touchstone with, that you find important, that you want to pass on. And we have many examples within our friendship circle of people who are doing exactly that, who literally, I think we have representations from every cultural group demographic in the country within our circle of friends. So I think we are enriched from our personal experiences and backgrounds. But I think within our circle, within our families now, there's a great learning that's happening, the great learning and respect that is happening. I think that is one of the cruxes of the play. It's, you are more than entitled to have your worldview and your experiences and your cultures and traditions, but that doesn't preclude someone else from learning from you or respecting that as well, and vice versa.
Well said, and a good point there. That is Chantal Stanfield, who has written and is starring in a one-woman show called From Cook Sisters to Knedlach. What about the name of the show? Do you like Knedlach now? What is Knedlach? Maybe you should tell our listeners.
Well, first of all, the name of the play originally was about a goy, and then a goy is a word for a Gentile. Okay. In Yiddish, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
And then Daphne Kuhn, who was the first co-producer in Joburg, a theatre on the square, she actually named the piece From Kusisters to Knedlach.
The South African leaders who wrote the Bill of Rights 21 years ago created a powerful legal framework for our transformation. Our economic, social, and cultural rights are just as legally enforceable as our civil and political rights. South Africa's Bill of Rights is so visionary, so innovative, and so enlightened, it's admired the world over. We are truly born free. Living the Constitution with Lead SA. Find us online for more.
This New Year's Eve, dance and sing till the 7th of January 2018 to the hits of the 1980s featuring talented dancers of the Cape Town City Ballet. Enjoy classic hits by Cher, Lionel Richie, Richard John Smith and Rick Astley. Book your tickets at CompuTicket or call Artscape. Dial a seat on 021 421 7695.